Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, soon to be Liberty State. And brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. It's not about right or left. This is key. It is about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. By the way, if you haven't read chapter 2 of Ephesians, read it. It's amazing. I mean amazing. Read the whole thing. It's amazing. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, today I want to talk to you about what Ephesians 2, 5 through 6 is getting at, about abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us, and about being in the presence of God. Had the opportunity this last weekend to go down to California and visit a ministry that we've been working with for a little while now, Flame of Fire Ministry. They go all over the world, but they also minister, and this is key because don't miss what I'm about to say. They minister to Christians, okay, that have been stuck in a religious paradigm, in the bad sense paradigm. They haven't been able to move further in their walk with the Lord and get further into the Lord's presence. And when you first hear that, people are like, well, I'm fine, Matt. I pray in the shower and I pray in, on the drive to work. Those are great things. But actually making time to be in the presence of the Lord, I want to be very specific about what I mean. Okay, it used to be in this country that in fact, the first Thanksgiving proclamations specifically called for a day of prayer and fasting. And in America anymore, it seems like in the Christian church, we have lost the power of fasting. And I'm not just talking one day on a Friday or just fasting from a certain thing, although the Lord may call you to do that. I don't know. But I'm talking about making time for the presence of the Lord once a month, picking 3 days to pray and fast. And during those 3 days, you may still have to go to work, but actually taking more time than you do on a daily basis to just be in the presence of the Lord. Just sit and listen, close everything else out. Just be still with the Lord. In our fast-paced world today, I think we've lost that. And I really appreciate Flame of Fire Ministries and other ministries like Hungry Generation. And there's a couple others down in Vancouver, Washington as well that are rekindling this idea of prayer and fasting. And also the idea of just being in the presence of the Lord, being still with the Lord, taking half an hour out of your day and just being still with the Lord, allowing the Lord to reveal to you what he's going to reveal to you, whatever path he wants you to go on, whatever visions he wants to reveal to you, and just being still with the Lord. And what was a really kind of a revelation for me anyway was when one of the speakers over the last weekend said, "Do you think you're busier than Jesus?" And isn't it interesting that Jesus always tried to fight to get away from the crowd so he could have that quiet time in that secret place with the Lord? It is an amazing picture for me. And I hope it's an amazing picture for you. Just getting away and being in that secret place, having that quiet, still time with the Lord. You know, I think in a lot of ways, we have allowed Christianity to become work, like a task to be done, instead of a relationship to be had. I was reading yesterday that, and this is a great, great thing, that improving your physical health requires activity. Improving your spiritual health requires inactivity and being still with the Lord. A lot of people ask, what are the solutions to all the problems we're facing today? What are the solutions to the economic issues and the foreign policy issues? And folks, I'm telling you right now, the solution all starts there in that secret place with the Lord. Getting back to the idea of fasting. And I got to tell you something. I've been looking around here in America and, you know, I think we could do without a couple meals for a couple days. I mean, I've seen it. But we don't fast just for the sake of that. We fast so we're focusing even more on the Lord, and we're putting the flesh to death. We're controlling the flesh, okay, and making it subservient to that relationship with Jesus Christ. So, folks, if you have the opportunity, pick a few days with your family, and let's get back to that. Let's get back to that, because I have a feeling that a lot of the struggles and troubles and everything are going to seem like nothing when we're getting into that quiet place and being still before the Lord. All right, that brings us now to our daily intelligence briefing, where things are not very still, and there is a lot going on. All right, I am going to start with Venezuela. I've been talking about this because the mainstream media doesn't seem to, because when socialism fails, they want to put it on the back burner. Now, listen to this very carefully. I've been very stern recently with the media, okay, and many in the media, I should say, because of the lack. It's what they are not reporting on. The lack of true investigation to be, you know, that watchdog for the people, right? Now, what we're really instead seeing is a corporate, for-profit, small constituency trying to claim that they're the watchdog for the people when they're not being the watchdog for the people, and they really aren't even being a voice for the people in a lot of instances. And I'm going beyond just the traditional refrain of media bias. But I'm talking about things like Venezuela, where you have a million percent inflation. And their solution is to remove the zeros. And oh, by the way, they're looking more and more like Weimar Germany, which everybody said that can't happen in a modern oil-rich country. It can't. And here it is happening directly because of socialist policies. Directly because of them. And it's something that alternative media outlets have sprung up because of this lack of reporting, this intentional, agenda-driven reporting that we have been seeing all over the United States. Why is Hillary still not being truly investigated? I mean, pick your thing. You know, and it creates such distrust among folks that they just shut the media off. But part of what I'm going to talk about today in the intelligence briefing is that you may not have been interested in media, but now media is going to be interested in you. Okay? And we're going to talk about a new phrase that I think we need to start using. It came from Joseph Farah, World Net Daily. I'll get to that here in a second. Moving next on the international front, let's talk about the U.S. and Israel versus the Shiite militias in Syria. And new battles are now erupting, essentially, between the Russian-Syrian forces, what would be called, I guess, the Sunni forces, if you will, and then you have Shiite militias as well. Now, it's interesting that we skip all the way back now to Iran. Everybody's been kind of putting on the back burner for a while. And we see that Deb Kefile has the article that Iran is deepening its military grip on Syria despite 200 Israeli airstrikes in 21 months. So I want to, I guess what I'm going to go to next is what's happening here in the United States of America. And that is that this idea that the Shiite regime in Iran is just going to stay in Iran is naive, okay? Now, all of you know that know me know that I am a non-interventionist. All of you that know me know that I believe that if war is going to be declared, it better be declared according to the Constitution. But that doesn't mean we need to be naive to threats. And the threats of the Iranians, okay, they are the A-team in the terrorist world, okay? They really are. The threat to America is already here. Washington Free Beacon has the article, "The Arrest of Iranian Spies in the U.S., Just the Tip of the Iceberg," lawmaker warns. Iranian spies have been stationed across the United States as a result of Obama-era cash payouts. That's the headline and the byline of this article. Two Iranian individuals were arrested and charged with spying on Jewish and Israeli facilities in the California area. And Rep. Peter Roskam of Illinois, a Republican, told the Free Beacon it is likely Iran has stationed multiple regime-tied agents in the United States to conduct intelligence operations. This is not a surprise, and this is a result of the Iran regime getting financial support from the Obama administration in the Iran deal, end quote. Okay? Now, we warned about this a long time ago. And this isn't an "I told you so" moment or something like that, but we warned about this. The fact of the matter is that there are terrorist cells that exist in the United States of America right now. Some of them are waiting to be activated. Some of them are doing what we just talked about, and that is intelligence operations. Okay, but why are they doing intelligence operations on facilities unless they are planning operations against those facilities? Okay, you have to put this in context. You have to put it in context. All right. Also on the international front, the temple vessels allegedly have been found. Somebody thinks that they have broke the code of the Copper Scroll, which is a scroll that's kind of been famous over there. I just find this just fascinating. And so far, apparently, he's been accurate at predicting where vessels would be found for the temple. Now, is this going to continue to spur on the movement to build the third temple? It surely looks like it. The Sanhedrin has been reconstituted. You have a huge temple institute that's been pushing for this and is making articles ready to be put into the temple. And some of the rabbis of the Sanhedrin have now officially called for a building of the third temple. So this is going to continue. And so this is kind of just a little part of it. All right. In South Africa, South African High Court calling for the gun confiscation, I think 300,000. Now, again, this is like considered a second or first world country. And now you have them confiscating firearms, something that people say, well, that just doesn't happen. Well, it does happen, and it is happening. And this, you know, kind of dovetails into here in Washington State, we have an actual gun control, and what is no one argues, a precursor to confiscation measure. It's going to be on the ballot coming here in November. If you don't know about this, if you don't know about Initiative 1639, you need to tell your friends about it, you need to get involved, and they need to vote. You know, all these people that say, oh, my vote doesn't count. You know, it does count. In fact, a lot of elections are decided by less than a couple thousand votes. Yes, it does count, especially at the state and local level, and especially on initiatives like this. And if you have a bunch of people stay home and then gripe about the fact that their rights are being trampled on, well, did you do your part to defend liberty? I mean, it's not that hard. This thing comes in the mail. Did you do your part? It's going to take all of us standing on the line to defend against these tyrants. It's that dire, folks, and you got to get out there and educate your friends and family, and if they get all mad at you or whatever, okay, fine, you did your job for liberty. Because true love is going to be protecting the right to bear arms for the next generation. All right, also, on the national front, still almost no reporting on this Chinese mole in Dianne Feinstein's office or Hillary's emails or whatever. But I do want to talk about the regulation of Google. So first, Twitter, this is coming to us from OneNet Daily, Twitter has banned Alex Jones for life. Okay, I want you to understand it. Twitter has banned Alex Jones for life. Okay? This is a private company targeting an individual. Specifically, a competitor to CNN for censorship in our time. Not because he did something illegal, but because they don't like his views. Now, they say he violated their abusive behavior policies, but what does that mean? And that brings us to this idea of the media technology complex. You know, you heard before about the military-industrial complex. The media technology complex is becoming an enemy of the United States Constitution and freedom-loving people. You got to understand, too, that in 2 months' time frame, we have an election, okay? If the Democrats get a majority in the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate, they are going to try to impeach the President of the United States for doing what he campaigned and told he was going to do. Now, they'll trump up some charges. But it's worse than that. They will move, like on this show I talked about a few years ago, to shut down the internet for patriots. Because they know how powerful it is and how powerful we are when we get the truth out. So Joseph Farah came up with this term, or he may have been borrowing it, but at least in this article. And Joseph Farah, I think, highlights this in one sentence. He says, America's liberties could be lost in the next 2 months. 2 months! Now, if the Democrats get a majority, a sustained majority, in the Washington State House and the Washington State Senate, They have already said what they are going to do, folks. They are going to raise taxes. They're going to have capital gains income tax on the table, sugar taxes on the table, carbon taxes on the table, property tax increases on the table, more regulations on the table. And think about, too, the right to bear arms and the right to life. I mean, the right to bear arms, my goodness, central to our republic. And they want to go after that. They want to go after the right to life. Everything we hold dear is on the table in November, folks. That is not an exaggeration. That is a challenge. If you love this country, if you love the Constitution, if you love freedom, and if you love your grandchildren and your children, you better be going to the polls and voting to protect it. Because if we don't, there might not be a day after that that we will be able to protect it at the ballot box. We've got to show up. Also on the national front, you have this so-called high-level Trump official. And apparently some people are saying it might be an intern. I don't know. Anyway, high-level Trump official that, you know, people are trying to keep this out-of-control president in check. So they're essentially saying, okay, that they're violating their oath and that there actually is a deep state that is working against the best interests of the American people. That's what they're admitting with this. This New York Times op-ed, they are admitting that the deep state is real and that the deep state is trying to undermine the first president in generations that is doing what he said he was going to do and actually cutting to the heart of the matter. Also on the national front, a retired pastor threatened with eviction for holding a Bible study. This goes back to Trump. Trump held a secret meeting. You can actually, there's a video by Lance Wall now. And he reports that Trump held a secret meeting of pastors. And he said, this election is a referendum on your religion. Very honest statement, actually. If we believe what we believe is really real, then we better get on our knees and pray. We better go to our quiet place. And we also better then move to action. Also on the national front, more on the EMP threat. Trump has taken some steps, by the way, to help harden the grid. But it would be very easy to harden the grid against this catastrophic threat. Now, we have a solar storm, or flare, I think, this week that actually has made interrupted some radio signals and internet, etc. Okay, so this isn't far out stuff. 1859, I believe there was a Carrington level event, which essentially fried telegraph lines. And today it would have been absolutely devastating to our electrical infrastructure. And it's so easy to harden. So easy to harden. And people don't really get into the details of it, but essentially the control boxes at the dams and at the other power distribution centers, that's what you harden. Because it can shut, it's like a search where you can automatically shut everything off. Boom. You're still going to have some damage in places, but it can save the majority of the grid. And the Russians actually tested this in, I think, the 60s over Kazakhstan. It was called Project K. And so they know what happens. In fact, the Russians actually were going to EMP the United States. We're not going to nuke the United States because they wanted to leave the critical infrastructure in place. But they... So, you know, this has been going for a long time, and we need to recognize it. All right, also on the national front, some folks advocating that we should treat the alt-right as gangs. Again, this is the media technology complex trying to advocate this. You're going to notice that only socialists, okay, only actual socialists and their sympathizers will try to attack people through implication, innuendo, in regards to, you know, alt-right or white supremacy or something like that. And they try to smear people with those labels. Social justice warriors try to do that, okay? So if you ever hear anybody doing that, you know that person is a socialist or a socialist sympathizer. You know it right out the gate. And the reason is because this is their admitted written tactic. Okay? And so if the person's using it, they're using the tactic and subscribing to the belief system, because normal people will talk about due process, will talk about investigations and interviews. And so it's important, all right? And, you know, it's so interesting. I just want to digress for a second. I was talking to folks in the Slavic community, talking to some folks in the Vietnamese community, and the shared concern about communists, about socialists, is palpable because they know what these people are capable of. And they fled it. And they know how precious freedom is. And I hope that we do too. All right, also on the National Front, the Muslim Brotherhood, you had this training camp. Three people had charges dismissed inexplicably. Just unbelievable. People saying that any criticism of Islamic terrorists is somehow domestic terrorism of itself, just ridiculous. But then you have MasterCard going after folks putting this information out, like Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch. And the thing is that this is the kind of their next step. They're testing it right now. So they're going to clamp down on the internet and free speech. Then they want to clamp down on the financial side of it and try to bully people into submission. All right. Also on the national front, Antifa violence. Okay. They are now advocating, and this is going to be up on Facebook either tonight or tomorrow. They are advocating for the creation of a, quote, red army, end quote, to, quote, annihilate, end quote, conservatives. Okay, they're actually coming out and saying, we want a red army to annihilate conservatives. Where is this in the media? You had this threat to the president from Antifa people, then you had the military recruiting station attack. Now they're coming out and saying, we need a red army to annihilate conservatives. And also read in there Christians, okay, because the communists and the system there is based on atheism. All right. On the regional front, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals has said that the Fourth Amendment applies to smart meters. A terrific decision. Also today from the Washington State Supreme Court, civil asset forfeiture. There was a huge case that came out, and the case is so weirdly named. It's like NARC Team versus Real Property. Okay, that's how ridiculous civil asset forfeiture is, because the case is against the property. That's the named defendant. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that case says that a prevailing claimant, okay, somebody that says they actually own the property and there was no right to seize it, now can get officially full attorney's fees, okay, for having to go through that process. All right. So that was a big win today for on the civil forfeiture front, and then also on the smart meter front. All right, on the local front, I want to talk about – actually, I'm going to talk about one more thing on the regional front. Okay, it is important to understand wildfire history. This is also kind of on the local front. The National Interagency Fire Center, okay – went back and compared the number of acres burned by wildfires in the United States of America, okay? This conclusively proves the climate alarmists wrong, okay? Zero Hedge has the article. It's terrific, but there is one chart in there that's just phenomenal. It shows the acres of wildfires burned peaked in the late 1930s. Or I'm sorry, the late 1920s, early 1930s. And then gradually fell off just before the 1960s. And a lot of that was, that's where you got your watchtowers from and all these fire crews in the backcountry and the use of airplanes, et cetera, et cetera. And they took wildfire seriously, okay? 50 million acres a year for two of the years reported, okay? With it doesn't look like, except one year below 25 million acres burned. Okay, in from 2000 to 2017, it doesn't really get above 10 or 12, all right, according to this chart. Conclusively proves that the wildfires today are from from climate change. Totally disproves it, okay? What it does prove is, conclusively, mismanagement of forests is what is leading to this. Terrific, terrific chart. So check that out if you get a chance on Zero Hedge. All right, local front, real quick, a couple things. First, I want to talk about something here in the state of Washington. There's going to be a huge story breaking tomorrow. What I want to talk about is that, you know, I believe it's the duty of the legislature to investigate corruption. Whether the corruption is in a sheriff's office, whether the corruption is in the legislature, whether the corruption is anywhere in the state of Washington, okay? Could be at the county level too. I believe it's the job of the legislature also to take very seriously allegations of physical and sexual abuse, okay? All of those three things, I think, have to be taken very seriously by the legislature. We are, at least as envisioned by the Founding Fathers, supposed to be the preeminent primary body, the legislature, not the executive, not the judiciary. It was supposed to be the legislature, and that was why, as representatives of the people, okay? So just stay tuned for tomorrow. There's a huge story that's going to break. Okay. Lastly, on the local front, a taste of what's to come next week, September 14th, 15th, the Clayton Fairgrounds. Yours truly is going to be speaking on Friday and Saturday, both. If you want to listen to the Liberty State presentation, I think I'm probably going to be doing that one on Friday. So anyway, it should be a fun time. And again, up at the Clayton Fairgrounds. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for me and Victoria. And if you get a chance, you can go to VoteShea.com and keep us on the air. VoteShea.com. And if you want to listen to us, you can be on iTunes and Podbean and catch us even if you miss the show. Well, my guest today is D.V. Kidd, a columnist and an American patriot. Had her on before. I'm doing a lot now on kind of our state of our economy and what may be in the future. D.V., thanks once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. It's great to have you on again.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you again, and good luck.
Yeah, it's a lot going on up here in good old Washington State, you know, but I think it's probably happening all over the country.
Oh, boy. It's like a typhoon that's just coming and sweeping across this country. I've been at this in the trenches full-time for 29 years. I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing. Half this country are mentally deranged.
Well, you know, the admission, I just find it startling. I had a friend of mine a long time ago say that, you know, once these guys get close to the finish line, they're going to have to run totally out in the open to the finish line. And we're kind of seeing that with the admission that, yes, a deep state does exist. Yes, it's undermining the very foundations of our country. I mean, would you have thought that 20 years ago?
29 years ago when I first got involved in this and started my research, I called it the shadow government, very powerful cabals of individuals who never put their head above water. But I wrote about this long, long, long time ago, that this was the goal, was to destroy this country, integrate us into a one-world government. And they're pulling out all the stops, and it's gotten so dirty and so ugly. And the lies, President Trump calls it fake news, but to me, they're just a pack of liars out there. And the sadly, low-information voters, they listen to one thing or they read one website or watch one anchor like Rachel Maddow, who is just, to me, absolutely toxic. And they believe everything without ever doing a lick of research. But we warned back in 2005 what was going to happen. I was writing columns about the banks were going to crash, you know, and this whole phony Federal Reserve banking system and fiat currency and the dangers of it. And I wrote about it in my booklet when I put it out in 1993, warning people about the problem with it, you know, and what the central bank does. It creates inflation and deflation and stagnation. It creates recessions and depressions. And people just say it's the biggest, most important thing outside of politics that controls the lives of every American, regardless of what political party you might belong to or don't belong to. And yet, people just, it's like some nebulous theory out there that doesn't, they don't think it'll affect them. But it sure did come crashing down in July of 2008. And because the solution was never implemented, there was never a recovery, and we are back in the same situation as we were back then, and it's building, and it's going to blow. There's no way to stop it at this point. The only hope is state legislatures like yours.
I think that the local level is where this is going to be fought, and I believe in certain areas of the country, clearly one. You wrote the book, Why a Bankrupt America. If you could describe for the listeners kind of the key tenets that you see are being implemented by the deep state and the key principles that are being undermined that we all at least should believe in that the founding fathers left us.
Well, they're tearing down everything from free speech to religious freedom. They, meaning these crooks and liars and thieves in Congress and state houses like California, they want to control every aspect of our lives. They want to brainwash the American people into believing things like climate change, which used to be global warming, but for marketing purposes, it sounded better to say climate change. And they've sold the American people a bill of goods. I just started a new series. I write every Monday for newswithviews.com. And occasionally I write for WorldNet Daily, but I only have so much time. But my new series is on what are the top priorities for your state legislatures come January of 2019. And there are certain things. And my first installment was this past Monday, was on the geoengineering and the controlling the climate and what they're doing. And it's very, very real. It's not some conspiracy theory. There's tens of thousands of documents that anybody can read showing that the U.S. Congress has approved all of this. And I just did it in my column, gave an example of where I live and how the weather, since they started the aerosol spraying of our skies, our weather's never been the same. Our birds are leaving. The bees have not come back. It's a very informative article, and it's based on science and not speculation or conspiracy theories. But it's the spraying of our skies, and I know you've seen this, Representative Shea, and if, you know, for listeners, look up in the sky. What do you see? You see the crisscrossing of the, what they call them, contrails or chemtrails. And years ago, before my late husband and I left Sacramento, Rosalind Peterson, who first introduced me to all of this, who unfortunately and sadly passed away earlier this year, we were in our representative's offices at the state capitol, and she had the flyover charts and stuff she got from her U.S. House member, and it showed where the commercial planes are flying over and where the military planes would fly over Mendocino County and Sacramento, and then there were unidentified planes. And the chief of staff for my representative said, well, you know, because I only live 10 minutes from the Capitol and 3 miles from the Sacramento airport. And he said, well, those are contrails left from commercial airliners. I said, of course they are, Mr. Nilo. You have 3 or 4 United Airlines flights taking off all at the same time and crisscrossing above Sacramento County for 3 to 4 hours, turning our blue sky into this gray muck, and then they take off for Philadelphia or Boston. I said, think, man, think about what you're saying. But anyway, the column is very comprehensive, and my next column is going to be on the states and the collapse of the currency. Now,
well,
here in Texas, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, here in Texas, several states have there's a lot of state legislators like you who get it, who understand. You know, I think, you know, that you're just wonderful, you know, you're a great patriot and you get it. And in several states, the people, the ordinary citizens, they have been lobbying some of these state legislatures for years, trying to get them to understand the problem with fiat currency and what's going to happen when the dollar collapses. I mean, look at the geopolitics out there. You know, Russia wants to do this, and the communist Chinese, who are our mortal enemies, not our trading partners, they don't want to use American dollars. And how about the petrodollar? So you have all of this stuff churning out there, and you have state legislators who have no concept or understanding of the problem at all. But a couple of friends of mine worked very, very hard in 2017, because Texas is one of four states who only are in session every other odd year, not to exceed 140 days. So the Texas state legislature went out of session in May of 2017, and they finally come back in January of 2019. But in the last session, Tom Selgus and a couple others, they worked so hard to get a near-perfect constitutional sound money bill. We believed, based on the polling of all of the Republicans who hold control of our legislature for the last 15 years or so, including the governor's mansion, we absolutely believed the bill would pass to protect the state of Texas. When the dollar collapses, Texas will be able to continue to do business. And what happened? Right before the session was to go out, the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, a Republican, killed the bill. Which, if I guess I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was. And an interesting thing, about 2.5 years ago, Greg Abbott, who's our governor, he wrote to the New York Federal Reserve, and he told them that the state of Texas wants back their $1 billion in gold bullion that the New York Fed allegedly has stored. And the reason that Governor Abbott wanted it back is because the state of Texas is going to pay for to hold this gold. And they got a squishy kind of letter back. But in the meantime, the gold depository is now completed. It is finished. The construction is done. And I have a call into the aide for to find out what is the current status of the Federal Reserve returning Texas's gold. I'll be real surprised if they could come up with any of it. So, but if the states do not take the measures to provide an alternative way to pay the bills, they're going to find themselves in the same situation as all of these socialist countries, the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Spain, Greece, and of course Venezuela, and several others. And there's no way to stop it. It's gone too far.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that part of it, because, you know, I firmly believe that if you just get government out of the way, you know, entrepreneurs can really revive an economy very, very quickly. I think it's very clear, based on some friends that I have in high levels in the banking industry, that, you know, the special drawing rights is what they're going to use as a one world currency. They'll probably do it in some sort of a cryptocurrency form. So that kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the very local level, the state level. That's where the solutions are going to be. What do you think we can be doing?
Well, Dr. Edwin Vieira, who's probably the biggest genius there is on the central bank and the issue of fiat currency and all of that, Edwin wrote a book called Pieces of Eight. which is a 1,300-page book. But he also wrote a column called The Road Not Taken, and in it he lays out step by step what the states must do to set up electronic currency transfer based on gold and silver. And with his permission, that column of his is in my Why a Bankrupt America, so that legislators can read it and understand the problem and what's going to happen if they do not adopt an alternative electronic currency. And for the American people themselves, as just an aside, when I say that the Federal Reserve inflates and manipulates our money, back in 1913, if I purchased an item for $20, that same item in last year, in 2017, would cost $492.53. So the cumulative rate of inflation from 1913, when the Federal Reserve Banking Act was unconstitutionally passed, the inflation is 2,362%. That's why it doesn't matter if you make $100 an hour. If you're, the dollar in 1913 was worth 100 pennies in purchasing power, today the same dollar is only worth 4 cents in purchasing power. But, and you know, hopefully, when I first put this book out in 1993, I had no idea what was going to happen. I had studied the issue for 2 years, and I gave up my career and my paycheck because what I found out scared me to death. And we started picketing the Federal Reserve in downtown Denver. But I stopped printing the book in 2004 because my printer, who printed them for really pennies, but I sold at cost 1,653,000 copies of that booklet without doing any advertising. But late last year, I decided, because I know what's going to hit again, I decided to put the booklet out once again to help Americans understand this and also include this one section on how the state legislatures must get this done, or it's going to be disastrous. How will the state pay the bills when you have a dollar collapse like we've seen in Argentina and Venezuela and, you know, back in 2008 and 2009 in places like Greece? It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. I can remember back then people in the country of Greece were actually selling their own children on the street corners because their money was worth nothing. And that's what is happening to our currency. And the states, the legislatures, and the governor, it is their duty and responsibility to see to the well-being and safety and security of the citizens of their state. And back in 2009, Edwin testified in, Dr. Vieira testified in front of the Montana Banking Committee, the Senate Banking Committee. It was an incredible presentation. And they took a vote, and you know who killed it? The Republicans. And I just thought to myself, what is it that you guys don't get? Well, I explain it in my booklet, what they do get. Because without the Federal Reserve, this monstrous, out-of-control government would not be able to continue with these unconstitutional, grotesque invasions of foreign countries where we have no business camping out in for 16 years, like Afghanistan. There would be no money to fund unconstitutional cabinets like the Federal Department of Education, the EPA. Every state of the union has their own EPA, but we know why the federal EPA is there, and it's there for world government. They would not be able to fund $1.1 trillion borrowed dollars for health and human services, which the Constitution doesn't authorize. So, you know, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for every American who's been able to get a job since President Trump took office. And the tax cuts have been a godsend for many, but people do not understand that there's consequences that come with that. And because there is no money in the Treasury, and because there is not enough constitutional revenues collected, meaning corporate taxes, federal excise taxes, which is cigarettes, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, gasoline, military hardware sales, things like that, Congress has to borrow this money from the Fed, because 100% of your personal federal income taxes goes for transfer payments, and not a penny funds a single function of the U.S. government. And it's in my booklet. People can look up the documents for themselves and see that it is a fact. And I'm doing my best to get Americans educated before they're broadsided again, and at the same time, state legislators. And I know here where I live, and I know you said you're going to be at the fair. I'm going to be at our county fair September 22nd, manning the GOP booth, getting people signed up to vote. Because this midterm election is one of the most important of not just our lifetimes, but for a long time. And it's shocking how many people don't even bother to vote anymore and how many people aren't even registered to vote. So I'll be at the booth getting people signed up to vote. But it's maddening in a way that people pay so little attention. But what I was going to say was, I know that some of the people in my county and the adjoining county have already, you know, purchased a copy of the booklet and personally met with their state representatives. So trying to impress upon them that the bill that did not get out of the Senate Banking Committee in 2017 absolutely must get through this coming session. Because you're in the legislature and you know that just because the legislatures are out of session, it doesn't mean they stop working. Here over in Austin, which I live 6 hours away from, so I can't get there like I used to in Sacramento and Colorado, where I live very close to the capitals, they're busy. These bills are getting written, they're getting introduced, they're getting put in the hopper and distributed to committees, and come January, these critical issues, like the spraying of our skies, all of those chemicals are dropping on our water supplies, they're dropping on our food supplies, they're dropping on hay and grass. I live in the Permian Basin in West Texas. This is agriculture and big oil. But when they spray and all that deadly, deadly doses of aluminum, barium fall down, you know, and it goes in the water and it gets in the hay and it gets in the grass, and it's horrific, just absolutely horrific. So my series will probably be 8 installments dealing with what I feel what the states. Of course, it's the norm, you know, to do the budgets for schools and the judicial system and things like that. But some of these other issues, they're not even talked about in most state legislatures, you know?
No, they aren't. Well, we've got only a couple minutes left.
I know.
Devi, if you could tell the listeners where they can go to follow what you're writing, where they can go to get your book, too.
My website, it's very easy. It's just my name, DV.com, and because it's unusual, I will use the military way. It's Delta Echo Victor Yankee.com, DEVVY.com. And you can see how to get the booklet, and you can see where you can click onto my columns at News with Views or WorldNet Daily or the U.S. Observer newspaper, which is hard copy and online.
So, Devi, in the last minute we've got left, how do you think this whole thing is going to shake down? What do you think is going to be a big warning sign for all of us that we should see first
inflation,
that something is going to be imminent?
Inflation, because the Fed is going to have to raise, they're going to raise the interest rates. And when that happens, as you well know, money tightens up, and businesses, corporations, they tighten up, they don't hire like they're doing. And remember, the personal tax cuts are not permanent. They expire in 2025. In the tax cut bill, the corporations' tax cuts were made permanent, but for individuals, why Congress made it end in 2025? A lot of people don't know that, and they're out there spending like there's no tomorrow. And they have no idea. And I've asked people from here to California, because I don't fly. And when I drive, I talk to people on the road. Oh, I thought the tax cuts were permanent. I said, no. They end in 2025. And people look at me like panic. You know, they're making big purchases because they think that these tax cuts are permanent. And they're not. And like I said, these tax cuts come with consequences.
They always do. Well, Devi, thank you very much. I really appreciate
it's
you.
A pleasure.
You're a patriot. Yeah. Well, God bless you. If there's anything we can do to ever help, you know, let me know. And I'm going to be checking out your columns, as I advise all the listeners to do as well.
Okay. And God's blessings to you and your audience. Okay.
All right. Thanks for joining us on Patriot Radio. Devi Kidd. And you can go check out her website and also her columns on News with Views. I think WorldNet Daily and a couple others as well. I want to end the show very quickly with something that I started the show with off, and that is talking about the media. Not just a lack of reporting, but inaccurate. In a recent article by The Inlander, Daniel Walters tried to claim that I wrongfully claimed the endorsement of the Veterinary Association of Washington PAC. I have the letter, actually, and tried to imply in the article that they don't do like bulk endorsements, okay? Well, they do individual endorsements. Quote, the Washington State Veterinary Medical Association Political Action Committee has endorsed your campaign for election. I'm going to post that. Hopefully you guys can share it around. But it goes back to what I've always said. Become the media. Let's be the media ourselves. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation a Holy Spirit-filled one.